it, don't mean to bust your bubble. But girls of the world ain't nothing but trouble. So next time a girl gives you the play, just remember my rhymes and get the hell away. Just last week when I was walking down the street, I observed this lovely lady that I wanted to meet. I walked up to her, I said hello. She said, hey, you're kinda cute. I said, yes, I know, but by the way, sweetheart, what's your name? She said, my friends like to call me Exotic Elaine. I said, my name is the Prince. She said,
the content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the April 2018 issue of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Today's programming is underwritten with support from the Raleigh Kiwanis Foundation. They can be reached at www.kiwanisfoundation.org. We're going to continue on page 8, Who's Who in Sports, line 3. Diego Valeri, midfielder, Timbers. His height is 5'10", his weight is 165 pounds. He was born May 1st, 1986, in Valentin, Alzina, Argentina. Valeri, a four-time All-Star, was named the 2017 Major League Soccer MVP after scoring 21 goals and adding 11 assists to help the Timbers finish first in the Western Conference. He was the second player in league history to have at least 20 goals and 10 assists in a season. He had a 9-game scoring streak from July through September and ended 2017 as Portland's all-time leader in goals, 58. After the Timbers' championship run in 2015, Valeri was named MVP of the Major League Soccer Cup. Question: which team won the 2017 Major League Soccer Cup? Do 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 do. Did you say Toronto Football Club? You were right. Next we have Brock Boeser, right wing, Canucks. His height is 6'1", his weight is 191 pounds. He was born February 25, 1997 in Burnsville, Minnesota. Boeser, a rookie, was named MVP of the 2018 National Hockey League All-Star Game after scoring twice to help the Pacific Vision to a win. He also won the accuracy contest, shooting one puck so hard that he broke a target. Through February 20th, he led the Canucks in points 50 and goals 27. Less than a day after playing for North Dakota in the quarterfinals of the 2017 NCAA tournament, Boeser signed with the Canucks. He scored 4 goals in his first 9 NHL games. Question: who won the 2017 Hart Memorial Trophy as the NHL MVP? Do 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 do. Answer: Connor McDavid of the Edmonton Oilers. And finally, Jamie Anderson, snowboarder, United States. Her height is 5'2". Her weight is 133 pounds. She was born September 13, 1990, in South Lake Tahoe, California. In February, Anderson successfully defended her slopestyle title at the Olympics, becoming the first female snowboarder to earn 2 gold medals. She then won silver in Big Air, an event making its games debut. In January, she won gold in slopestyle and bronze in Big Air at X Games Aspen, bringing her medal total to 15, the most for any woman. Anderson finished first in the 2017 FIS World Cup standings in slopestyle. In 2016, she was first in the overall slopestyle and Big Air standings. In what year did the Olympics first include a snowboarding event? Do 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 cancer in 1998 at the games in Nagahama, Japan. Page 32, Baseball Preview 2018. Step right up, sluggers. Major League hitters are sending balls out of parks at a record rate. What's behind the power surge, and how is it changing the game? Here on page 32, it has a number of sluggers from different teams, from the Yankees, Carlos Stanton, Aaron Judge, and a lot of the big hitters in the major leagues. John Franklin Baker was baseball's first superstar slugger. In fact, his name was Home Run. It's funny, then, that he never hit more than 12 round trippers in a season. Still, Baker smacked enough to lead the American League in home runs four times in a row, from 1911 through 1914. Safe to say that old Home Run Baker would have a hard time recognizing today's game. Remember those league-leading 12 homers he hit for Philadelphia A's in 1913? Last year, 215 players hit at least a dozen dingers. Rookie Reese Hoskins of the Phillies hit 18, and he played only 50 games after being called up from the minors in August. This year, the Yankees have a chance to be the best slugging squad in the history of the game. New York led the majors with 241 homers last year. Aaron Judge smacked 52 in his first full season, more than any player in the big leagues except one, Giancarlo Stanton, who hit 59 for the Marlins. And this year, Stanton will be in pinstripes. That means that the Yankees have the firepower to make a run at the 1997 Mariners, who set the Major League single-season record with 264 four-baggers. Ken Griffey Jr. led the way with 56. Hitters are realizing that the way you get paid is by hitting home runs and putting up power numbers, so they're optimizing their swings to do that, says Indians pitcher Trevor Bauer. A record 6,105 home runs were hit in the majors last year, 412 more than the previous high mark for a season. That means there was an average of 2.51 homers per game in 2017. The power output is not only drastic when compared with Baker's era. As recently as 2014, hit an average of 1.72 homers per game. But since the middle of the 2015 season, balls have been flying out of parks like never before. The number of home runs has increased by 45.9% in just 3 years. And that's changing the way the game is played. A new philosophy. It used to be that managing a game, you would think about what pitching matchups you wanted based on maybe who could get you around a ground ball or a double play if you needed one, says Reds manager Brian Price. Now what you find yourself doing is defending the home run. Who can get the swing and miss? Pitchers realize the only surefire way to avoid giving up a home run is to whip the opposing hitter. And those hitters are taking huge cuts, trying to pound the ball over the fence. Teams have also been encouraging it, says Bauer. Hit the ball in the air. Hit the ball out of the yard. Do damage. As a result, strikeouts are way up, too. Last year, 26 players fanned 150 times, easily the most ever. Home Run Baker never struck out more than 48 times in a season. And as home runs become more prevalent, so-called small ball strategies such as sacrifice, bunts, and stolen bases have all but disappeared. Teams don't want to run the risk of having a runner cut down on the base pass. They want to make sure men are on base when the inevitable home run comes. In 2016, Baltimore tried only 32 steals all year, and the O's were successful just 19 times. They did hit 253 homers, though. No, instead of trying to manufacture runs by moving runners up one base at a time, teams are content to sit by and wait for someone to go yard. Last year, 42.3% of all runs in the majors scored on home runs. 10 years ago, that number was 34.1%. Things got even crazier last year during the World Series. Houston scored 34 runs in the 7 games, and 24 of them came on home runs. The Dodgers also scored 34 times. Half of those came from dingers. But is there more to this explosion than a change in the way players and teams view the home run? Something is juiced. There have been power surges in baseball before. Most notably in the mid to late 1990s, home run records fell on a yearly basis. As it turned out, many of the top sluggers were using performance-enhancing drugs. More rigorous testing makes it unlikely that PEDs are the culprit this time. There are also a significant bump in power during the 1987 season, one that was widely attributed to a livelier baseball. A lot of people in the game, including Bauer, think that's what's happening now. Major League Baseball juiced the ball, he says. Last summer, a story on the website The Ringer detailed a study the author had undertaken in late 2016. He compared game-used ball from before the middle of the 2015 season with the ball from after the 2015 All-Star break. He found that while the newer balls still conformed to Major League specifications, they were smaller and harder and had higher seams. Each of those factors would make a ball fly a little bit farther due to a decrease in air resistance. Taken together, they would make balls fly a lot further, enough to cause a significant increase in dingers. Back in Home Run Baker's day, balls were used until they were falling apart. Making contact with one was like hitting rags held together by a rubber band. Today, though, the average lifespan of a ball is 7 pitches, ensuring that each one used is pristine and full of life. Sure, those livelier baseballs make a difference, but the game has evolved. Hitters are bigger and stronger and smarter. I think it's technology, says Angels second baseman Ian Kinsler. Guys are able to use video to fine-tune what they want to do, and that has helped a lot. And now you have access to everyone else's swings, too, so you can look at all the guys around the league and look at what you want to take from their swings and apply it to yours. Kinsler doesn't love the fact that homers and strikeouts have to dominate the game, but some players do. I actually like it, says Bauer. The most fun at-bat I have had in the big leagues is against Astros designated hitter Evan Gattis. I love facing that guy. He either hits a home run off me or he strikes out. He's 2-for-9 off me with 7 strikeouts and 2 two-run homers. That's how I like playing baseball. Power on power. Four baggers, dynamic duos. Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton have a chance to join some elite company. Only 2 major league teammates ever hit 50 home runs each in a season. Roger Maris and Mickey Mantle of the 1961 Yankees. Maris hit 61 to set the single-season record, while Mantle hit 54. Their total of 115 is the most ever by a pair of teammates. 100 years of dingers. The average number of homers per game is nearly 20 times what it was a century ago. Only 2 players hit more than 9 home runs. .013. This was in 1917. Babe Ruth bashes 60, more than every other American League team. 1927. In 1937, Negro League star Josh Gibson hits a 580-foot homer in Yankee Stadium. 1947, the New York Giants become the first team to reach 200 homers in a season with 221. In 1957, future home run king Hank Aaron leads the majors with 44 home runs. In 1967, homers plummet to the lowest level in 15 years. In 1997, George Foster of the Reds becomes the first player in 12 years to eclipse 50 home runs. That was in 1977. In 1987, juice balls lead to the home run per game average passing 2.0 for the first time. In 1997, Mark McGwire, 58 homers with the A's and Cardinals, comes up 3 short of the Major League Baseball record, which he breaks in 1998. In 2007, Kansas City's 102 home runs are the fewest in a full season since 1993. And in 2017, there's 2.51 home runs per game. Home run records are shattered as the long ball total passes 6,000 for the first time. scouting reports. Who's got the pop to contend in 2018? No team rates higher on our power meter than the Bronx Bombers, which puts a 28th World Series title in their sights. Our picks: American League, East winner, New York Yankees, Central winner, Cleveland Indians, West winner, Houston Astros, Wild Cards, Boston Red Sox, and Los Angeles Angels. National League, East winner, Washington Nationals, Central winner, Chicago Cubs, West winner, Los Angeles Dodgers, Wild Cards, Arizona Diamondbacks, and Milwaukee Brewers. Playoffs: American League Championship Series, Yankees over the Indians. National League Champion Series, Dodgers over World Series. Over the Nationals, World Series, Yankees over the Dodgers. We'll see. Number one, New York Yankees. The Brown Bombers lived up to their name last year, bashing an American League best 241 home runs. Now that New York has added Giancarlo Stanton, fans are going to be reaching for dictionaries to find a word that denotes even more firepower than bomber. But will that translate to a 28th World Championship for New York? The Yankees were a victory away from advancing to the World Series last season, but they scored just one run in the last two games of the American League Championship Series against Houston. Right-handed pitcher Luis Severino, 14-6 and 2.98 ERA, and the rest of the hard-throwing pitching staff have to show that they can carry the team when the bats go cold. Number two, Boston Red Sox. The Red Sox finished dead last in the American League in home runs last year. That hadn't happened since 1930 when the manager was Heinie Wagner. Yes, Heinie. The team slugged 47 dingers. Still, Boston won the second straight division title in 2017 thanks to a pitching staff led by ace Chris Sale, 17-8, 2.90 ERA. The lineup, which was anchored by right fielder Mookie Betts, 24 home runs, 102 RBIs, got a huge boost with the acquisition of another MVP-caliber player. Picking up outfielder J.D. Martinez, 45 home runs and a .303 batting average, makes it unlikely that the Sox will bring up the rear in home runs again anytime soon. Number three, Toronto Blue Jays. Toronto showed last year that swatting a lot of home runs doesn't necessarily translate to a potent offense. The Jays hit 222 long balls, but just 90 of them came with a runner on base. First baseman Justin Smoke hit 38 homers, but drove in only 90 runs because 23 of those home runs were solo shots. Why were the bases so empty? Because Toronto hit a league-low 240 as a team. The Jays' biggest offseason move was to pick up shortstop Adimez Diaz from the Cardinals, and Toronto is banking he can regain his stroke. As a rookie in 2016, he hit 300 with 17 homers. Last year, he hit 7 home runs and had an on-base percentage of .290 in 79 games. Number 4, Baltimore Orioles. The Orioles had 7 players hit 20 or more home runs last year, including second baseman Jonathan Schoop, 32 home runs, 105 RBIs, and a .293 batting average, who blossomed into an all-star. Unfortunately, Baltimore's pitchers were also big fans of big flies. They gave up the second most homers in the league, 242, which contributed to the team's rotation having an ERA of 5.70. 4 of the 6 starters responsible for those terrible numbers are free agents, but the new-look staff doesn't give Baltimore a chance at a playoff berth. The Orioles will once again slug their way to mediocrity. And number 5, Tampa Bay Rays. Tampa Bay traded its all-time leader in home runs, Evan Longoria, to the Giants, signaling a serious changing of the guard. For a decade, Longoria, who hit .261 homered for the Rays, including 20 last season, was a fixture at third base. In 2 separate transactions, they also traded left fielder Corey Dickerson, 27 home runs, and Steven Souza, 30 home runs, for a total of 3 prospects, having decided it was time to begin dealing veterans for youngsters who can help the team down the road. For now, the lineup will be anchored by center fielder Kevin Kiermaier, 15 home runs, 39 RBIs, who is an excellent fielder but doesn't have the kind of pop that can carry an offense. The American League Central. Number 1, Cleveland Indians. How did the Indians win 102 games last year? By keeping the ball in the park. Sure, it helped that shortstop Francisco Lindor upped his home run total to 15 in 2016 to 33, and that third baseman Jose Ramirez went from 11 to 29. But Cleveland's staff was the best in the American League in ERA, strikeouts, walks, and home runs allowed. Indians pitchers gave up just 163 homers, 29 fewer than any other team. Started Corey Kluber, 18-4, 2.25 ERA, won his second Cy Young Award in 4 years, and reliever Andrew Miller, 4-3, 1.44 ERA, was once again spectacular. By dominating the arms race, Cleveland will again be a force come October. Number two, Minnesota Twins. The Twins were the biggest surprise in the American League last year. Behind second baseman Brian Dozier, 34 home runs, 93 RBIs, Minnesota won 85 games and earned a wild card spot a year after losing 103 games in 2016. The Twins did it by beating up on the weaker teams in the division. They were 34-23 against the Tigers, White Sox, and Royals. But if they want to compete against the AL's elite, they are going to need more starting pitching. How bad was it last year? 44-year-old Bartolo Colon made 15 starts. Ace Irvin Santana, 16-8, 3.28 ERA, and right-handed pitcher Jose Berrios, 14-8, 3.89 ERA, were solid in the regular season. But they got roughed up by the Yankees in the wildcard game loss, giving up 3 homers in 5 innings. Number three, the White Sox. After a 5th straight losing season, it's safe to say the White Sox are in full-on rebuilding mode. First baseman Jose Abreu, 33 home runs, 102 RBIs, and a .304 batting average, and right fielder Avisiel Garcia, 18 home runs, 80 RBIs, and a .330 batting average, are the only hitters who are going to strike fear into the hearts of opposing pitchers. And no one on the pitching staff won more than 7 games last year. But better days are on the horizon. Chicago has 2 of the top 10 prospects, according to the MajorLeagueBaseball.com. Outfielder Elroy Jimenez, 19 home runs, 65 RBIs, and 89 made minor league games. And right-handed pitcher Michael Kopech, who limited hitters to a .193 average in the minors last year. Number 4, Kansas City Royals. From 2001 through 2012, the Royals had 10 seasons of at least 90 losses. In 2014, they won the American League pennant, and the following year, they were the world champs. These days, only a handful of players remain from that upstart bunch, led by catcher Salvador Perez, 27 home runs, 80 RBIs. Kansas City said goodbye in the offseason to free agents Mike Moustakas and Eric Hosmer, who combined for 63 homers last year. Now they are in rebuilding mode. The Royals can expect to return to the days of 90-loss seasons. They can only hope that their barren period doesn't last 12 years this time. And finally, for the American League Central, Detroit Tigers, number 5. Midway through last season, Detroit had an elite starting pitcher, Justin Verlander, and 2 of the best sluggers in the game, J.D. Martinez and Justin Upton. By the end of August, all 3 had been traded away for prospects, and Detroit went 6-23 without the trio. It didn't help that first baseman Miguel Cabrera, who won the Triple Crown 6 years ago, hit a career low .249. With a cupboard bare, youngsters such as center fielder Jacoby Jones, 3 home runs, 13 RBIs, and a .170 batting average in 56 games, will get valuable experience. But even a return to form for Miggy, who is 35 and signed for 6 more seasons, won't be enough to keep the Tigers from approaching 100 losses. American League West. Number 1, Houston Astros. This is what deadline deals are supposed to do. Last August 31st, Houston sent 3 prospects to the Tigers for right-handed pitcher Justin Verlander. Giving up potential stars is never fun, but Verlander was worth it, winning all 5 of his regular season starts and then going 4-1 in the postseason. Houston will hope its most recent trade pays off as well. The Astros snagged former All-Star Garrett Cole, 12-12, 4.26 ERA from the Pirates, with an even stronger rotation and a loaded lineup that led the American League in runs. Houston has a chance to give baseball its first back-to-back champs since 2000. Number two, Los Angeles Angels. Los Angeles has baseball's best player, center fielder Mike Trout. 33 home runs, 72 RBIs in 114 games. Now the Angels have its most intriguing player as well. Shohei Ohtani arrived from Japan with unprecedented fanfare. The 23-year-old throws a 100-mile-an-hour fastball from the mound and can slug with the best of them at the plate. The Angels aren't certain of the ideal way to use him, but they'll have a lot of fun figuring it out. The acquisition of Ohtani overshadowed a series of solid pickups by L.A., including the signing of All-Star Zach Cozart, 24 home runs with Cincinnati, to play third base. They won't catch the Astros, but the Angels will be a threat in the wild card race. Number three, Seattle Mariners. The Mariners haven't been to the playoffs since 2001, which is the longest postseason drought in the Big Four sports. Seattle has a lineup full of dependable hitters. Designated hitter Nelson Cruz, 39 home runs, 119 RBIs, has hit at least 20 homers in each of his last nine seasons. And shortstop Kyle Seager, 27 home runs, 88 RBIs, has a six-year streak. Second baseman Robinson Cano, 23 home runs, 97 RBIs, has hit 20 in eight of his last nine seasons. But there's no reason to expect drastic improvement from these vets, and the rest of the roster, especially the starting rotation, is mediocre at best. That means Seattle's streak of futility is going to continue. Oakland Athletics. Chris Davis finished second in the American League in homers with 43. The second straight year he had at least 40. But on a per-game basis, he wasn't even the best slugger on his team. First baseman Matt Olson, Oakland's 2012 first-round draft pick, was called up in August and hit 20 homers in the last 45 games of this season. The A's traded for outfielder Stephen Piscotty, who hit 22 homers 2 years ago. But their wisest offseason move was to get rid of DH Ryan Healy. That means that Davis, a woeful defender, can leave his glove at home, and Dustin Fowler, 13 home runs in 70 minor league games, can play every day in center field. We've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Today's programming is underwritten with support from the Raleigh Kiwanis Foundation. They can be reached at www.kiwanisfoundation.org. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, trianglereadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have any comment or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That's 939-832-5138. She said, why? Well, I don't know. I'm just a hell of a guy. But enough about me. Yo, let's talk about you and all the wonderful things that you and I can do. I popped some cash in a little bit of time. I showed some cash, then the girl was mine. I took her over town, I wined her and dined her. She asked me, did I like her? I said, well, kinda. All of a sudden, she jumped out of seat, snatched me up by my wrist and took me out.